traps, the black trap you see in this picture. We also monitor neonates dropping out of the canopy onto the soil using these funnel traps, or essentially a pitfall trap. And then we look at various characteristics of the trees in long-term studies, especially yield.
Viburnum leadbeetle is a major new landscape pest in the Northeast. It's an invasive chrysomelid native to Europe that has been first observed in the U.S. in Maine in 1994. Both larvae and adults of Viburnum leadbeetle will feed on leaves of various Viburnum species. It's an univertine species that have three larval instars. Viburnum leadbeetle is a very damaging insect. Susceptible shrubs attacked by the insect will die.
I gather from the results you haven't actually found parasites in a camouflage. Am I right?
No, we tried to find, but did not yet.
So here's a suggestion. When you put your light packs out, put an animal bait out.
Yes, we tried to do it too, but we...
And? Did you cause that problem?
No.
No.
And we need to repeat this.
So currently we have preventative controls, which include some nicotinoids as well as molt accelerating compounds, which are newer chemistries. And we also have curative controls, which are older chemistries and may at some point not be available to us anymore. We also have non-chemical controls such as milky spore and entomopathogenic nematodes, but those are expensive and have been inconsistent in the past. So BT fits into both of those categories, a curative as well as a non-chemical. And especially in situations where there's going to be kids playing, home lawns, where you don't want to put something toxic down, where it's going to be people are going to be exposing themselves to grasses, and also in environmentally sensitive areas where there may be a water course or a stream running through a golf course or a home lawn. In places like Toronto, Canada, for example, they have banned use of pesticides for cosmetic use on turf, as well as some places in California, Mother's Vineyard, as well as Long Island. So these are some of the places where we'd be able to use this BT. So the objectives of the study were to determine the susceptibility of four species of scarab larvae to BTJ in the field, and to determine the rates and timing for optimal control. So what do we know about BTJ as to date? Well, this was a study done in 1993. This is unpublished. This was a different formulation than I'm using now, but as you can see, BT provided at least 70% control and was comparable to the conventional pesticide isasafos when controlling the Japanese and the Oriental beetle. Also, Suzuki and Hori in 1993 determined that early instars are most susceptible. So it takes about 227 times the amount of toxin to kill a third instar as it does a first instar larvae. So the beetles that I used in my experiments are the Oriental beetle and the Japanese beetle. And from previous studies, so they're both in the family Rutilianae, and previous studies show that they are susceptible to BTJ and in the field. And I also used the European chafer and the Asiatic garden beetle, which are both in the subfamily Melilanthinae, and these two species have not been tested so far. So we wanted to see if what other species besides these two in our area is BT susceptible to. And also another study done shows that the cupreous chafer is really susceptible to BT, and it's also in the subfamily Rutilianae. So in my experiments, the sites were chosen based on a natural infestation of the target species. And we used a liquid formulation containing the toxin and spores each year, and then in 2006 we added a wettable powder formulation. And then each treatment was watered in, and we sampled at least 25 days after the last application. And so what we did, we sampled by cutting the turf about a half an inch below the soil surface, and then using a turf cutter, and then it was pulled back, and we sampled by extracting all of the live larvae out of each plot. So here are some of my results, and this each graph is percent control on the y-axis and grams of toxin per hectare on the x-axis, and each graph is going to have a line at 70% control, because this is considered adequate control in most situations. So also, we used a conventional pesticide in comparison in each of our trials, just to compare the BT control to. And in this specific graph, we had an earlier and a later application. So the earlier application is in the light blue, and the darker one is the later. And I just wanted to show, and this is for the Japanese beetle, I just wanted to show that when the BT was applied earlier, it performed a little bit better than when it was applied later. So this is because the grubs are probably second instar in that later application, and they were first instar in the earlier one. And also note that the BT performed just as well as the imidacloprid. Oops. As far as the higher rate in this graph. And then in 2006, we had new formulations. We used a wettable powder and a liquid formulation, and they provided, at all rates, provided good control and comparable to the merit, which is the active ingredient is imidacloprid in that product. Okay. And then moving on to the Oriental beetle, this was a late application on September 23rd, so grubs were third instar at this point. As you can see, with increasing toxin concentration, we had increasing control, although since they were so large, we didn't see 70%. And it's also interesting that the trichlorophan, which is what we normally use for curative control, didn't have much of an effect. I'm not really sure why that was. And this is another Oriental beetle. These are results from another Oriental beetle trial, and we had the wettable powder and the liquid formulation. This was in 2006, and we had good control with all rates. Okay, and then moving on to the Asiatic garden beetle, we had we didn't see good control in any of the experiments with the Asiatic garden beetle. We had the later and the earlier, the earlier and the later application for this one, and providing about 30% control when the grubs were first instar. But also, you can see that the conventional pesticide imidacloprid really did not have an effect on the species either. And then moving on to the European chafer, we had increasing control with increasing toxin rate, the grubs were third instar at this point, so if we had used higher rates or if we had applied earlier, we might have seen different results. So in conclusion, rates as low as 100 grams of toxin per hectare were effective against the Oriental beetle and the Japanese beetle, and the BT shows good promise for control for those two species. And the European chafer and Asiatic garden beetle were not effectively controlled with the rates and timings used. So potentially using BT earlier on in the season or higher rates might provide better control of these two species. And we found that it was effective in a variety of different turf grass species. Our sites were, we had perennial ryegrass, Aurora hard fescue. We also had some fine fescues. And there were a range of soil pHs, and this didn't seem to have an effect with our control, as well as the rainfall within 1 week of application ranged from 0.2 to 10.6 centimeters. So you would think that with increasing rainfall rates and runoff that potentially that might have an effect, but it didn't seem to in our trial. So topics for further research, just determining susceptibility of other beetle species in other geographic regions like mast chafers, Philophaga species, and black turf grass Atenius, as well as looking at the differences in the larval midgut receptors of the Rutilini species subfamily versus the Melanthini subfamily. So, and then I'd just like to acknowledge these people and my funding source, and that's it.
Insect to basically sabotage its own food supply. Could it be possible that some of these long-term, uniquely dependent insect pathogen relationships involve symbioses beyond that than just transmitting a disease? Consider a bacterium that spends, that uses an insect as both a mechanism of transmission and a overwintering site. This bacterium is actually spending more time in the insect than the plant. And you even begin to wonder, are you looking at a plant pathogen that's using insects as a vector, or gut flora that's using plants as a vector? So to answer some of these questions, you need to develop a system, and that's what my talk is going to focus on today. So the system I focused on is the striped cucumber beetle. So this is an insect endemic to the eastern United States. It is a voracious pest of cucurbits, so the adults come out in big aggregations early in the season and persist throughout the entire growing season. It's also the primary vector of bacterial wilt of cucurbits, which is a vascular disease that is particularly lethal for cucumbers and muskmelon, but affects all cucurbits to some extent. Now, to get